So we're going to be in John chapter 13, verses 1 through 20. So you can put your finger there, but we're not going to start there. We're going to start in Ezekiel because I want to share a verse with you beforehand. So if you got your Bibles, open up to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. We're just going to look at a few verses because I think this is so relative to what we're going to be going through today. Again, Ezekiel 36, we're going to look at verse 25 through 27. Verse 25, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations." Heavenly Father, as we dig deep into your word today, Lord, as we look to hear from you, your spirit, your word, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would just speak to each one of us, Lord. Lord, as I know each one of us walk in here in different stages in our lives, Lord, different seasons in our lives, but Lord, your word always has a lesson for us this day. So Lord, I just pray your Holy Spirit would move and use this time, and that we would just set aside any distractions again as I've prayed just before, Lord. But Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, our focus would be on you as we sit at your feet and we learn from you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So last week, we really started a new series or a new chapter or a different season as we studied in God's Word. And we've been really begin a journey alongside Jesus. And we're going to begin in John chapter 13. And we're going to go all the way through basically John 17 with one part in there with Luke. So we're going to be in John for quite a while. Now today, again, we're going to be in John chapter 13, joining in on the Last Supper in the upper room. As we begin these passages today, know that Jesus is sharing his last free moments that he has before his crucifixion with those that are closest to him, the disciples. And they're having Passover dinner together. Very special time. Now, last week we studied how Jesus had sent the two disciples, right? Peter and John. He sent them to go and prepare the meal, right? And I shared how my family had been traveling before Thanksgiving and I had been sent to the store to get all the ingredients. It was quite fun. I still got a lot of extra ingredients around my house that we don't know what to do. But anyways, these two disciples were very much faithful in taking care of the request that Jesus has given them. And they had gone into Jerusalem. They had found the room that Jesus had instructed, just as he had instructed, prepared all that was needed, and they are now having the Passover meal. Now, we learned a lot, I believe. I learned a lot from the disciples' response to Jesus, that we should all respond to Jesus in the same way. Respond in faith and simply asking, "Where would you have me go, Lord?" Not a lot of questions, just where? "Yes, Lord." Now maybe this week, the Holy Spirit has spoken to some of you and asked you to step out in faith in some which way. Even when our flesh would tell us otherwise, we need to be obedient. You know, it's funny. I mean, it's the simplest things, like shears. What an example. It starts with the simplest thing of stepping out in faith and being obedient to serve God's people. And you never know what God will do with that. You never know. But I do know what he will do. I should say I do know, because he's going to use you. And he's going to give you another step to take. And so be ready for that. So in our text today in John 13, 1 through 20, we're going to study one of the examples given by Jesus of how we're supposed to live during this Passover meal. Now, before we get into the text in John, you can turn there if you'd like. The questions. I got two questions for you today. I'm going to put them up on the screen. Here's the first question that you should ask yourself as we go through the passages today. What does it mean? Now, we're going to talk about Jesus and the washing of feet, just to help you out. What does it mean symbolically when Jesus washed the disciples' feet? It's the first question I ask you to think about as we go through these passages. And the second question kind of has two parts, but it's one question. What does it mean for us to have our feet washed today? Second part of that is, and to, what is it to wash each other's feet? What does it mean for us to have our feet washed today and to wash each other's feet? Now, as we get going, I also want to take a moment, as I usually do, and ask you to put yourself in the context of the story of what's taking place. Remember Jesus and the disciples. Imagine what they're going through, what's on their minds as they sit there at the Last Supper. Imagine Jesus, what's on his mind? What's on the disciples' minds? What are they expecting? We know what they're expecting. They're hopeful for, anyways. What have they been thinking, feeling? What was their emotions? What about Jesus? Imagine that. He knew. He knew. What would he have been thinking about as he's teaching us this example that he's going to give us? So let's begin. John chapter 13. Let's look at the first three verses. Verses 1 through 3. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew his hour had come to leave this world and return to the Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So now, really, what we see is everything has changed, right? This is a different season now. Before, Jesus had said, if you want to look back, you can look back in John chapter 2, verse 4, John chapter 7, verse 30, John chapter 8, verse 30. Jesus said the same thing. My hour has not yet come. But now, the hour is near. The hour is coming. It was only hours before his crucifixion, only a day away. And as we look at these passages, remind us, we got to remember that Jesus knew. He knew all that was going to take place and that was going to happen to him. And yet, he knew of his betrayal, the arrest that was going to take place. He knew of the disciples that would turn from him. He knew about the trial that was going to take place. He knew about the beatings he was going to have. He knew about the humiliation he would face. He knew the crucifixion that was going to happen. He also knew about our sins and how they would be placed upon him. Our past, present, and future sins being placed upon him. And then him being separated from God. Paying the price for each and every one of our sins. So that we can be redeemed. Through him, we can have salvation. It's amazing to think about that Jesus knew all of this. He knew all of this in these coming hours that was going to take place. And yet, where was he right now in this story? Where was his attention? His intention was there with the disciples to love on them, to teach them, to be with them. I don't know about you, if I was facing that, I don't know that that's where my attention would be. But I see Jesus' attention was to minister to those around him, to love the people around him. These verses tell us that Jesus loves us even as he faced crucifixion, and he was determined to prepare the disciples, and that's us, teaching us, showing us an example of how we should live as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus. Verse 2, if you look back at verse 2, you see in this that we're reminded about Judas and what he had done. Remember last week we read about Judas, how he sold his soul, right, for 30 pieces of silver, rebelling against Jesus, just as Satan had. Then if you see verse 3, I like this part in verse 3. I really like this. I love knowing that Jesus had the authority from God, fully knowing, fully understanding that he is God, and then chose in love to give his life for each and every one of us. So now as the stage is set, let's continue. Let's look at verses 4 through 5. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. As I read these verses, I find it very interesting that there's so much detail given here. I mean, why not just say Jesus was there and he started to wash our feet? I mean, you can really see as you read the passage what's taking place step by step as Jesus prepared to wash their feet. I mean, you can imagine everyone reclined at the table, as many of us have heard, this U-shaped table. Everyone, they're, you know, leaning down on their left side, their feet kicked out behind them, with their right hand up to eat with, and then at the feet of each one of these was Jesus. I mean, you can see the scene, the table, right? There would have been candles, lamps lit. There would have been a cup of wine that's been raised if we go back into how the Passover meal took place. You'd have seen Jesus bless it. Everyone's preparing to partake in this Passover dinner. You know, if you look at the history of how this would take place, if you've been to a Seder meal, you know, like usually the next step was this hand-washing ceremony. There's a hand washing ceremony that would take place. But Jesus gets up and goes to the water basin, which watching him maybe would even seem to tradition, maybe to wash his hands. But instead of washing his hands, Jesus changes the tradition and starts doing a servant's job of washing the disciples' feet. It wasn't just a servant, by the way, I read. Not even a Jewish servant was required to do this. Only a foreign servant would be required to wash one's feet. This was such a low job, not even a Jewish servant was required to do this. So let's see what's happened in 6 through 9, what's going to take place. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never, ever wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, not just my feet." I like Peter. Now, we all know that Peter was very outspoken, right? We talk about it all the time when we're talking. And many times Peter says out loud what maybe some others were thinking, maybe even what some of us may be thinking. But we hold our tongue sometimes. But Peter doesn't always seem to hold his tongue. Now, I'm sure that everyone at the table thought it was strange what was taking place. This was not normal for Jesus to get up from the table and wash feet. But Peter spoke up. I think about that and I put myself in the story. I'm like, why would Peter speak up, you know, and not everyone else? Maybe Peter thought it was like a test, right? Because, you know, this was supposed to be Jesus. He was supposed to be the Messiah. He was the one that was supposed to, hopefully that week, right, start and take over. Yet, Peter's like, maybe this is a test. I'm not going to allow him to do this because he's going to be our king. A king would never do that. I don't know what was in Peter's mind, right? But you can imagine in Peter's mind, there had to have been questions asked, right? I mean, honestly, he had to have been wondering, should I allow Jesus to do this or not? Like, he had to have been asking the question. It would be awkward for him to watch this taking place. And what's in the verses, you see Jesus' response to Peter was actually a little bit different than we've seen in other areas in the Bible, especially kind of concerning Peter. In 7 and 8, it says, "You don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will." Then it skips on, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." So Jesus doesn't necessarily rebuke Peter exactly, but explains to him, "You don't get it, but you will later, so let me do this." Then you see Jesus' response, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Now, as you read this, what exactly does this mean? What does it mean to us today? It's an interesting passage. It's very symbolic. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the Believer's Bible Commentary. I like that one. I want to read their commentary on this. It says, "The Lord answered Peter that apart from his washing, there could be no fellowship with him. The meaning of foot washing is now unfolded. As Christians walk through this world, they contract a certain amount of defilement, listening to vile talk, looking at unholy things, working with ungodly men, inevitably soil the believer. He needs to be constantly cleansed. This cleansing takes place by the water of the Word. After we read and study the Bible, as we hear it preached, and as we discuss it with one another, we find that it cleanses us from the evil influences about us. On the other hand, the more we neglect the Bible, the more these wicked influences can remain in our minds and lives without causing us any great concern. When Jesus said, 'You'll have no part with me,' he did not mean that Peter could not be saved unless he washed him, but rather that fellowship with the Lord can be maintained only by the continual cleansing action of the Scriptures in his life." I like that quote. Looking at Peter and Jesus' conversation, his answers, it's apparent that Peter did not completely understand what Jesus was doing. But I really do like Peter's answer. "Then wash my hands and feet." Well, Lord, not just my feet. Peter's always speaking up, right? And sometimes, again, we do give Peter a lot hard time for that, what he says. But I thought about it. I'm really grateful for Peter. Because Peter speaking sometimes whatever's on his mind, we get to learn a lot of lessons, don't we, through that? A lot of lessons from Jesus as he responds often to Peter. What a statement from Jesus in this. I love the statement from Jesus right here. You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will. That's a powerful statement, not just in the context of this passage, but throughout our entire lives. You don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will. I can tell you, each of us are called to walk in faith, and we're called to trust Jesus, and sometimes with not understanding why or how, but we're called to step out in obedience. So let's see what's going to happen next, what Jesus will say to Peter next in verses 10 and 11. Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for their feet to be entirely clean. And you, disciples, are clean, but not all of you." Verse 11, "For Jesus knew who would betray him." That is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." Now we see this foot washing as symbolic. Unless Jesus had washed away Peter's sins by his death on the cross, Peter would not have a relationship or be able to have a relationship with him. But also I see, unless Peter submitted to him, right? Part of this is submitted to him, and allowed Jesus to wash him in this way, Peter also would not learn the lesson of humility and also what it is to surrender to Jesus' request. So as you look at these verses, I actually see two kind of different types of cleanings. The first one it talks about is being bathed all over, as it's talked about. And we also see then the washing of feet. So we see two different cleansings. And Jesus is teaching a very important lesson. The first cleansing is when we are born again, right? When we come to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, we are completely and forever bathed and cleansed from our sins. Once it's done. The second cleansing, though, is of the feet that it's talking about. And it's relative to all of us today, isn't it? We're called to be out in the world, right? We're called to go out and share the gospel. We're called to go out. Jesus was out. He's out in the world. He was sharing the good news. And when you're out in the world, we're going to pick up some dirt here and there. We're bound to as we walk in the world. It happens. And as we have contact with others and the things of this world, we're going to pick up some things here and there. So we must wash our feet clean of the filth as we pick up along the way at times. So let me try to explain it this way. So Jesus is teaching us and showing us by an example of walking a holy walk as a Christian. Once we're born again, we are a new creation. We're cleansed from sins, we're forgiven, right? I want to make clear of that. But as we walk in the world, we pick up things. You know, interesting, today's communion, right? We do communion once a month here. There's no particular reason for that besides we do it once a month. It doesn't say that in the Bible, but we happen to do it once a month. And communion is a great time to really examine yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to examine yourself. Have I picked up anything? Is there anything in my life that is not pleasing to you? It's a great time to examine yourself and repent of these things and rid yourself of these and turn into a different direction or whatever you may need to do. Or do I have any problems with other relationships? Things happen in our lives as we walk, right? We're messy. God's people are messy often. So I don't know. It's interesting how this has landed. And we're talking about this as it's communion. Because we do live in a very fallen world around us. And we're surrounded by sin, and we're surrounded at times by the effects of sin. So we know that if we want to have communion with God, that we need to examine ourselves and repent of these things in our lives. It doesn't mean that we're not saved, by the way. We need to be washed daily with the Word of God. We need to be in God's Word each and every day. Because we will pick up things that we wished we hadn't as we walk through this world. So I've tried to explain this. Let's see Jesus' explanation in verses 12 through 17. "After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, 'Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I am your Lord and teacher, since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them.'" So Jesus has taken his place back at the head of the table and asks, "Do you understand?" Jesus knew they didn't quite understand, right? He knew. I thought about it, and for me, some of the greatest lessons I seem to have learned have came from situations that were extremely uncomfortable. This situation in their culture would have been very uncomfortable. It would have seemed very strange for them for Jesus to be washing their feet. So often, the lessons that I have learned had happened in my life when there's things taking place that I didn't completely understand or understand why I was in this situation. But one thing I would know is at the time that God had placed me there for a reason. So in faith, I've walked through these lessons, and at times I walk through these lessons with as much grace as I can. But in the end, I've learned some very valuable lessons. And Jesus has given this example also not to just sit back, but to love each other, to serve one another. In fact, I want to look in reference to that to James, a verse that I'm sure most of you are familiar with. James chapter 1, let's look at verse 22 through 25. James chapter 1, verse 22. But don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, God will bless you for doing it. We are told to take action here. We're told to follow Jesus' response here. As he washed the disciples' feet, he also then turns to his disciples and say, wash each other's feet also. And that goes for everyone around you. Look around you. We are to be serving each other. We're to be serving in the church. We're to be washing each other's feet. Now, we're going to talk about that symbolically in a little bit. But we are to be serving each other. We're challenged to take action. Look again. Turn back to John. Look again at verse 16. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. This is the lesson I believe that Jesus is trying to teach each one of us. That we are to serve in servant leadership. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're all called children of God. And we're to love each other, to serve each other. No one person is above another. If we're to follow these truths, it says we will be blessed. It's interesting as I serve with different cultures here and I see different cultures operating in different ways. And someone was telling me the other night as we went and met with a couple that wants to get baptized here soon, praise the Lord. Our church is different. Because there's no one lording over one another. And I appreciate that. We're here to serve. Anyone in this church, we're here to serve each other. And we want to serve each other. So if there's anything we can do for any of you, let us know. I don't know how, but I'm sure we can find a way to help each one of us. So let's see the last few verses, 18 through 20. I am not saying these things to all of you. I know the ones I have chosen. But this fulfills the scripture that says, the one who eats my food has turned against me. I tell you this beforehand, so that when it happens, you will believe that I am the Messiah. I tell you the truth. Anyone who welcomes my messenger is welcoming me, and anyone who welcomes me is welcoming the Father who sent me. So Jesus mentions the betrayal so that to build our faith, that he knew that it was going to happen. And again, remember, Jesus knew about the betrayal the whole time. He knew about Judas, and yet what did he do still? He washed his feet. Think about that. Jesus washed his feet. I just find that amazing to think about. Welcome to ministry, by the way. Jesus is the example that all of us are to follow, even knowing he still served and loved him. So Jesus ends his teaching reminding us again, if we are to follow Jesus, then we are to love and serve his people. Now, I thought about this as I looked at this hand washing and this foot washing. There's actually... You know, how often should a person physically wash either their hands or you can say your feet? How often should you wash your hands or feet, you think? I think it may depend on one's environment. We'll start with that you're in. Or maybe, you know, what you've been exposed to. If you just use the restroom, wash your hands, okay? If you just rode a bus surrounded by people, when you get somewhere, you should wash your hands, right? I mean, there's a lot of dirty things out there. Or maybe you've been near a sick person. You should probably wash your hands. Makes common sense. Maybe another reason that you should be washing your hands is what you will be doing next, right? If you're going to be around other people, especially children, you should wash your hands to help spreading germs. If you're going to eat, especially in these cultures where you're using your hands, you should wash your hands. For a lot of us, before you go to bed, you should probably wash because you've been out in Chiang Mai, hot, sweaty weather all day, and who knows what. So before you go to bed, you should probably wash. So as I look at all these reasons for washing, I hope we would all agree that we should be clean and wash, right? But as I look at this, I apply this spiritually, is the same as reasons that we should be washed by the Word of God. What places have you been? Where have you been? Out in the world? You need to wash. You need to wash through the Word of God. What have you been around? What have you been doing? Have you been exposed to an environment that you could pick up some dirt? Maybe sin? Or, it goes back to my other one, what are you going to be doing spiritually? What are you going to be doing spiritually that would require you to be washed? Are you going to be ministering or teaching others? You should be washed with the Word of God. If you're going to come to church and be fed, you should be washed. If you're going to have fellowship with others, first God and others, you should be washed by the Word of God. So my first point in closing is that we need to be washed daily through the Word of God. Do you know this is why we worship and pray a lot of the times before we study the Word of God? We worship, we come before God, we pray, and then we study God's Word. There's a reason for that order, in a sense, is because this is a time that we can examine ourselves, we can look at our relationships, we can pray, and then we can be fed the Word of God. The second point of the lesson I see is that we are to serve each other just as Jesus shows us in today's text. He washed their feet. We're surrounded with opportunities to serve each other, aren't we? Have you done this week? Can you tell me, if we asked you, how have you served the church? Can you give examples? I think that's a big question for all of us, right? Yeah, I do that, of course. What's the examples? Can you actually list them off? Because we should be able to in some way. Maybe you know someone that just needs a phone call or a text. It can be simple things. It doesn't need to be complicated. It doesn't need to cost money. Maybe someone just needs a call or a visit or maybe just a word of encouragement. It doesn't need to be complicated to serve God's people. Maybe you do have some physical resources that could help someone else that God's called you to use. That's one way. Maybe it's just a simple task like setting up the chairs at church. That's serving God's church, right? What about cleaning or being a greeter at church? You know, the greeters come 15, 20 minutes early and they serve God's people. It's simple. But it's one way to step out in faith and just serve the church and serve God's children and your brothers and sisters. What about, I know this one, teaching in nursery, maybe even Sunday school, maybe even just going to the outreach if Tony is announced. That's one way to serve. We must get out. We must get out and serve God's people. Maybe not in all of the ways I've given. Maybe there's some other ways that I'm not even listing. I'm sure of that. But God will show you how you can wash the feet of others if you will ask him. So looking at the passages, I see a third lesson or a third point. Peter first refused to let Jesus wash his feet. Peter did this because he didn't understand why Jesus would do such a thing. Because Peter had a preconceived idea of how Jesus should be and what he should do. But Peter needed an explanation of what he was doing before allowing Jesus to wash him. Peter almost missed the blessing because he didn't simply trust Jesus. We must learn from this so we don't miss the blessings from Jesus. Just because Jesus is working in a way that we don't understand or even sometimes agree with, we must have faith and trust and obey Jesus. We can learn important lessons from Peter, as always. Quick lesson from Peter. Don't question the Lord's will or work or try to change it. He knows what he's doing. That's from Warren Wiersbe. The fourth point, my last point. We're going to have communion here. Jesus is our example. He gave us the example. In humility, am I serving with humility as Christ did? Imagine putting yourself in that story. Would you do what Jesus did? Would your reaction be in love? Now, you thought I was talking about the foot washing, huh? I think that's just a small part. Think about what was taking place. Knowing Jesus knew he'd be betrayed by the one. He knew he'd be denied by the another, Peter. He knew he'd be abandoned by basically almost all of them. And yet, he washed their feet. Imagine being in Jesus' position on the ground, washing their feet, looking upon their faces, knowing what each one of them would do to you in the next 24 hours. Powerful. What a picture of how we are to serve others, washing their feet, knowing the sins that have been committed. So it takes me back to the two questions I asked. What does it mean symbolically when Jesus washed the disciples' feet? I think we've answered that. And also, what does it mean for us to have our feet washed today and to wash each other's feet? And again, as we get ready to take communion today, have you ever washed a person's feet? I have. And when I did it, it was in a climate or a culture that it was commonly done. It was in Myanmar. When you go into people's houses in the village, literally it was expected that you would wash your feet because they were gross and you were coming into their homes. And it was new for me. I mean, it was actually almost difficult because to get down there and wash your feet. And so I did a foot washing in Myanmar. And I'll tell you, it was something I would encourage someone to do maybe. I wouldn't do it here. It kind of defeats, it's not quite the same effect. If you actually go into a village where people have been walking for miles and every filth that you can imagine and have every type of mosquito bite, insect bite, infection, and you get down on your feet and you have that foot in front of you and you wash it, you'll understand what that means. I take off my shoes. It's not really that gross. In fact, I can tell you, even I went and got my toes done once and they scrape it all off and make it pretty. So my feet are pretty nice. Not quite the same effect. I invited a few of you to come with me, but you wouldn't come. Not the same effect, right? Go to someone's feet that truly have been out walking like the disciples were and know what that's like. I want to give you a quick quote from my Life Application Bible. And I believe this. I just, instituting foot washing here today, which I'm going to share this quote, but it's kind of the same. This is how I feel. Would have been missing Jesus' primary lesson. He was not inventing a clever way to serve others. He was serving others in a very common way. Today, we ought to think of foot washing as an example of servant leadership. Other ways we can show a foot washing attitude include, first one, taking on a menial task or accepting a lesser role, or never insisting on our rights or privileges. Or the third one, meeting others' needs before meeting our own. Or fourth, looking for a job no one else will do and cheerfully doing that. Or focusing on the results and being achieved and not who's getting credit. I don't know if that was up there. So we need to follow Jesus' example of servant leadership. And that means washing each other's feet. And that takes many different views, right? It doesn't mean literally washing everyone's feet. It could, but usually it means something else. It means being a servant. So have you been, my most important question though, as we went through all this, is I want to ask everyone here, have you been washed by Jesus? There may be some here today that have not been washed by Jesus, that have not had your sins forgiven, that have not placed your faith in Jesus. And Kevin's going to come up here in just a few seconds here and lead us in communion. But if there's anyone here today who has not accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, as Kevin has led us in communion, I'm going to be up here. If you want to come up and ask me about what that means, or maybe we can pray together, don't let that chance pass you by as the Holy Spirit is calling you to be washed of your sins. So I'll be up here. Kevin's going to head up. Come on up. He's going to lead us in communion. But again, I'll be up here. If anyone needs prayer during communion time, I'm going to be right over there, and we can step outside there. But I'll be up here.